Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, hosted by author Michael DeCamp and his family. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch studios, this podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll find interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, and performers, as well as friendly banter about any number of topics. Turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Welcome back to the Cutter's Notch podcast. This is your host, Michael DeCamp, and I'm here with my this week's co-host, my beautiful wife, Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Hello.
And we are excited today because we have a very special guest. And I am just, you know, a lot of times I don't introduce the guest until after I start the creative moments thing.
Well, don't introduce me. Let's see if people can figure it out.
That's
and
a
by
good one.
Special, do you mean I ride the short bus to school? Because I like that bus. The kids on that bus are fun.
They're fun.
They like hugs. And I'm good there. That's how I'm special, let's go.
So those of you listening, did you recognize that voice? If you have, maybe you've watched, we'll just get back to that later. So so what we always start with is, and you know, gosh, guys, we're just excited to be here. Last time we had episode, we did a live recording at Books and Brews on South Shelby Street in Indy, at a multi-author fair. And I interviewed like 5 to 10 minutes each, like 10 or 11 authors. It was like an hour and 5 minutes, but it's just a bunch of flash interviews.
Nice.
So this is our, back in the studio. Welcome to the Cutter's Notch studio, you random person that we don't know yet.
For anybody who hasn't been here, it's fantastic. They provide a dog.
We have a dog. And we're having
hard ciders
from Ash and Elm on East Washington Street in Indianapolis. So I didn't get paid for that plug,
but it's really good. I'm drinking the Fleeting Youth, which is a raspberry and lemon cider. And they don't know what happens to me when I drink a hard cider in the middle of the afternoon.
But
so they're taking a huge risk right here.
And I'm drinking the Del Camino pineapple. I can't pronounce that word. Do you know how to pronounce that? Tapache?
Nope. I could spell it.
Tapache cider. It's I guess it's got pineapple on it. But hey, I like it. It's pretty good. And what are you drinking, Nancy?
I'm with the Fleeting Youth crew.
You're both.
Because Nancy and I are feeling our fleeting youth. It seemed appropriate.
So before we jump into the actual formal introduction, we always start off with what I used to call our creative moment of the week, but I've just unilaterally decided to change it to creative indulgences. And sorry, Angela, if you don't like that, because you weren't here. So you don't show up, you don't get a voice.
This is what happens to you.
So we got our creative indulgences, which obviously, if you've listened to this podcast before, you know that's books we're reading or shows we're watching or whatever else is entertaining us. So Nancy, what's your creative indulgence of the week?
Well, I have been on the mend from a slight injury, and so I've been reading like crazy. And my daughters they got me hooked on some different books, but I just read a series called The Folk of the Air, The Cruel Prince, The Wicked King, and The Queen of Nothing by Holly Black. So they're kind of a young adult fantasy, but entertaining, and it's got me through.
It's what we might call beach reading?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds good.
So you're reading young adult and drinking Fleeting Youth.
I see a theme.
Very good. Very good.
See a theme.
How about you, person that we haven't introduced yet?
You know what? I am hooked on Malcolm Gladwell. He did that book, Outliers.
Yeah.
David and Goliath. Well, he also has a podcast. And I've read I haven't read. I've been listening to him on audio tape. And he narrates his own work.
Oh, does he?
And he is an excellent narrator. Not everybody is a good narrator.
No.
When he narrates his own work, you really get the emotion from him, how he really feels. And he doesn't hide it. But his podcast is amazing. And I kind, you know, like in high school when you were in love with someone, you wanted to marry him. That kind of love. I want to marry Malcolm Gladwell. Like, I'm already married. That's not going to happen.
Right, right.
But he's amazing.
Interesting.
Wow. He's so smart and his interests are so wide ranging and so incisive. And he really makes me think about what he's talking about. And I like that.
Wow. Well, I'm going to have to look up Malcolm Gladwell now.
Yeah, check him out. You will like it.
I know Outliers. I know that book.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. You know, if you've researched me at all, and I think you must have if you agreed to sit in the podcast, you know that I've written a few books. I'm an author. And it's funny. People find out and they're like, hey, have you read so-and-so? Have you read so-and-so? I'm like, you know how many published authors there are?
It's like if you're from Florida, do you know so-and-so? Right. Do you know how many people live there?
That's right. That's right. That's cool. Well, I've got, you know, my youngest daughter's read like 75 books already this year. I don't know how
it's
she's
competition.
Done it.
Competition. It's called the COVID. She hasn't come out of the COVID.
She's still in the COVID shell somewhere. So anyway, I've read a couple of books since the last time. I've done True Grit by Charles Portis. And True Grit is actually, it's just like the movie.
Yeah.
Movie True Grit. Or True. I need to enunciate.
Please do.
It's the True Grit. So this is actually what the movies were based off of.
Oh,
so
okay.
The John Wayne movie from 19 whatever.
Which was the best one.
Yeah.
But they did a good job on the recent one.
The recent one was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was interesting when in reading the book, there were aspects that both versions did the book proud, would say. I would say that the first one captured the girl probably the most strongly.
Which is the most important thing to do. Yeah.
But the second movie probably captured Rooster Cogburn more accurately to the book.
So are you saying we need a third one where both people are captured? I feel like that's what I'm hearing.
Like a mashup?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's like Superman. How many times are you going to change Superman? You know, Superman, Batman, they keep changing who plays them and they change the format and it's dark, it's light, it's funny, it's not funny.
But have you ever seen a movie that was as good as or better than the book?
No.
Ever. Okay. No. I'm going to give you one. I'm going to throw this out here and I'm going to challenge you.
Okay.
Watch the movie Holes based on the book Holes.
Okay. I've not read the book, but I have seen the movie.
Seen the movie.
Read the book. Okay. It will take you about as long as it took you to watch the movie.
Okay.
Everything that's in the book is in the movie and it's done so well.
All right.
And I love movies. I watch a lot of movies. I love books. I was listening to your daughter's 75 books so far. I was trying to do the math. How many books a week is that?
That's a lot.
Yeah, but how many? Like, I'm not fast on math. So we've had 7 months times 4 weeks, seven times 4 is
26 weeks and 6 months. So it's like
28.
It's at least 3 a week.
Around 3 a week.
About 2 to 3 a week.
Okay. So that's about my speed. Cause I just chew them up. I listen to a book before I fall asleep at night.
Well, she's been doing that too. She reads and then she listens as well.
And I usually have 2 or 3 books going at a time. It's ridiculous.
No, I have not. I've only just recently started with audiobooks. So I typically like paper. I like having a book in my hand.
Yep.
Or I use the Kindle just because it's convenient. But I really like actual hard books.
I'm with you 100%. But I can listen to an audiobook while I drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't read a hardback book while I drive.
Well, I just
haven't mastered that yet.
Not well. I've seen someone do that. Yeah.
I know. It seems like a bad idea.
It's like, did you see the guy on TV the other day that he was at the baseball game? He had his beer in his right hand.
Oh, yeah.
And his kid
in his left hand.
And the ball came and he
let go of the kid to grab the ball and then brought his hand down and caught the kid before she fell. I'm like,
so impressive.
That's very impressive. But I would have been, if I was his wife.
He was lucky.
He was very, very lucky. But I think he actually thought it all through because you could tell from the distance of the fall that I think it was his daughter had been up on his shoulder. So he had calculated in that little lizard brain we all have how much time he had to flip his arm up, catch the ball, and come back down. And there was someone sitting right next to him. That baby was going to have a soft landing, right? That guy was going to catch that baby. So he'd thought it all through, and he just snatched that ball.
I'm thinking it was just reflex. I'm not thinking he thought it all through.
I'm thinking he'd had more than one of those beers yet. So anyway, I just did an audiobook. I did One Good Deed by David Baldacci, which David Baldacci does a lot of like crime, a lot of mystery modern stuff. He's got a John Polar series, which John Polar is like an Army MP guy that's
resolves good.
Mysteries. But this particular one was a departure for Baldacci. This was more of a historical mystery novel.
Oh.
It was set in like 1949.
Okay.
And I couldn't quite figure out what state, somewhere out west.
Okay.
And the main character is a guy named Aloysius Archer.
That's a great name.
Yeah. It's a great name. He just goes by Archer, but his full name is Aloysius Archer. And he had been in World War II, had been a decorated war veteran. When he got out, he kind of fell for this girl who, I'm not giving away anything because this is all background information.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is exposition. That's the fancy word.
This is before it gets into the story.
We'll see.
So he falls for this girl who ends up getting him in prison. So he spends a couple of years in prison. And when they parole him, he ends in this little town. I didn't know the name of it. I've lost it now. Paco City or Peco City or something like that. Anyway, he ends up in this little town. And the next thing you know, he's wrapped up in mystery and intrigue and a couple of murders. And they think he did it because he's a ex-con and he's got to prove his own innocence. And it was kind of like listening to one of those old radio programs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I got it because in my day job, I drive sometimes and like I traveled to Chicago and Rockford and back. And so I listened to the book on that trip and then a lot in the evening when I got back because it wasn't enough time. But the problem I have with the audiobooks is that I get distracted. I'm driving along and I'm listening.
You get sucked into the story.
And you forget your exit.
No, I don't do that. I get to thinking about something else. And then I realized, I missed something important there. Back up. And back when it was on CDs, it was harder to back up. But now it's on my iPhone, so it's easier. But that was actually pretty good. I gave that a pretty good rating on.
So do we need to medicate you for your adult ADHD? Yeah. Is that what we need to do?
Well, what? What are we talking about?
What? Squirrel? Huh?
Are we talking about something?
Why are you here, woman?
And who are you?
How did you get in my house? And why does my dog like you?
Well, let's just shift over to that, actually. How did you get in my house?
You invited me.
I did,
you made the huge mistake of inviting me and then giving me a hard cider.
No, this is going to be so much fun. So in actually, my daughter gave me a little bit of a hard time for inviting you because I sent you a message on your
social media
page.
Yeah.
Not your personal one, but your personality one.
Correct. Those are the only ones I look at. I don't post anything on my personal page.
Yeah. So she was like, anyway, I won't go into all that, but she was like,
I kind of want you to now.
She's like, I'm glad you did that though. I'm glad she said yes.
Okay.
I'm like, well, me too.
Did she want to be the one to give the invite? Is that the issue?
No, she just thought I should have done it some other way, but that's okay. That's okay.
What other way is there?
That was my point.
I mean,
that's the only way I know to get all of it.
She didn't want to set him up for failure. She wants her dad to do well.
Well,
and, you know,
what's cute is you could do like some of the fans and you could just show up at my house and knock on the door.
No,
well, no, true.
I was going to ask you about that in a little bit, but let's tell everybody, well, if they saw officially the preamble, introduced. They know who you are, but, do you like to be called Karen or do you like to be called Mama Chick?
I like to be called Karen.
Okay.
That's what I like.
Was that Mama Chick thing? Was that a promotion or like a promotional thing? Or is that something you guys came up with?
Well, no. When Mina and I started the business, she came up with the name Two Chicks and a Hammer because what we were doing is we were rehabbing houses, just the two of us. We'd hire subcontractors for certain things, but we did the yeoman's amount of work. And so she comes up with this name because it's kind of lighthearted and fun. And we're serious about what we do, but we're not serious about us. You know, don't take us too seriously. And because I'm the old one of the partnership, I'm the mama chick. That's just, I'm the old one. So I'm the mama. Mm-hmm. That's how it happened.
Nancy's Mama Bear. Ah. She's been called Mama Bear more than once.
Or Superstar. I'm fine with that.
Can you do the superstar maneuver?
I taught some of my great nieces when they were in town because they live out of state and they were coming to Aunt Nancy's house to meet her. And they were like, now what's her name? And one of the little girls kind of looked at me. She wasn't sure. And I did the superstar and ever since then, all my little nieces call me Superstar.
That's the best. I really want to steal that, but it would be wrong because it totally belongs to you.
Oh, you can share.
No, 1,000,000%. That's you, girl.
So officially, we have Karen Lane from, or do you?
It's actually, the last name is E space Lane. I know that's the most ridiculous last name.
What Elaine.
Elaine. I like to tell people it's French.
Now, that's interesting. Well, you know, having the last name DeCamp.
There you go. You know,
I can see how that works.
Yeah. But people think the E is an initial for a middle name, so they like to put a period after it or just leave it out entirely, and those are both wrong. The last name is E space L-A-I-N-E.
I'll have to remember that. When I fill it out and put it on Post-it and everything, I'll try to get that right. Because I saw you, I read something, I guess I was on your page, and I saw where you were talking about an article, and you're like, this thing is so inaccurate. Starting with my name. That must be what you were talking about. I was like, it looks like it's spelled right. I didn't get it.
Mostly given up correcting people, mostly because really, who cares?
Right.
Really?
But it's your name. I mean, I get that.
Yeah, but I feel like you do care. I get that, which is feels really good to me. So I felt like sharing that because I know you will respect that it's actually my name. And it's a name I chose.
Right.
So I may have made a terrible error in choosing that name, like dumbest thing I've ever done, the most complicated name in the world. But I am the only person you will ever meet that during 2 separate years of my life, I had 3 separate legal last names.
No kidding.
True story.
You want to tell us about that or is this?
No,
just leave it hanging out there.
Back in the day when I was married to my co-star's father, Casey Starziak, it was Starziak. And we got divorced in January and I got my maiden name back, Gin. And then in November, I got remarried and my name was Gray. And that was back in 1990. And then in 2013, I want to say 2013. That's what I'm going to go with. I could be wrong.
That's your story. Stick with
that's
it.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it. I had remarried. My name was Jensen. And a day came where I just could not really stand having that name anything anymore. Nothing to do with the husband. Nothing. But his new wife, no.
Didn't appreciate that.
I just didn't want to have the same name as her. So I'm dating this man who's now my husband, who I love, but he's not marrying me. So I have to do something about this name. So I did a legal name change and made my last name E space L-A-I-N-E. So now I'm Elaine. And then in September, he marries me. And now I'm roaming her. So that's the story. It's not a very interesting story.
No, I find it interesting.
It's the flow of life, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I grew up in Muncie. I'm completely familiar with all those name changes and stuff. Sorry, Muncie folks. So how did the whole thing start? So now you're this international star.
You know what? I am Midwest famous, kids. I'm Midwest famous. We have an Airbnb in our house and in the carriage house. And we have guests in our house who have no idea who I am.
I will disagree, though.
Will you, Nancy?
I will disagree.
Nancy, I think I can take you. Are you sure you want to disagree?
Bring it.
She swings.
Bring it. I grew up in the neighborhood. She swings
fake. You're going to take your earrings out?
And I only say that because we have friends across the country that will be like, oh, Indianapolis, isn't that where Good Bones is? And I'm like, yeah, and it's kind of the neighborhood I around where they do houses is where I grew up. And they're like, oh, wow. You know,
Now you need to message them and say you met me and include the picture that we're going to take of all of us together.
Yeah.
Maybe with no pants on. Right.
It'd be like Zoom. Nobody may know.
Get a few more of these hard ciders in. I'm like,
who knows what'll happen? What were we talking about?
I think I asked you how it
Midwest
all started.
Famous,
how did it all start?
So it all started, Mina graduated from college and she wanted to do something grown up, but she didn't want it to be a real job. So instead she bought a HUD house that we rehabbed together. And we did it together because she's fresh out of college. She can't get a loan.
Right.
So I have to co-sign for her and I like her. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's do this. Let's have some fun. So we redo the house from ground up. I mean, it's completely gutted. It has all new mechanical systems, everything. She does a whole new floor plan and she pulled this out of nothing. Like this floor plan, which is amazing. She has no experience in building a house, none. And we learned as we went, like we leveled the kitchen floor and the guy, we put in the cabinets and the guy who put in the counter, he says, who put in these cabinets? And we thought we had made a mistake because we never put in cabinets before.
Right.
And we said, well, we did. And he says, I've never seen cabinets square, level, and plumb like these before in my life. I said, well, thank you so much. It took us 3 days to do that. And most cabinet installers are done in an hour.
Right.
But it was so much work because it's an old house.
Right.
So we learned as we went, and we had a lot of fun doing it. So she had been in a car accident, and I am not a personal injury attorney, but I got her a really good settlement because I told the insurance adjuster, I'm not a personal injury attorney. This thing happened to my daughter and I just want whatever's fair. Here's the medicals. What can you do for me? And she gave me a really good settlement. Huh. So Mina used that money to buy the next house and then the next house and then the next house and then the next house. Because each time you sell a house, then you've got some more money and you can buy a $3,000 to $5,000 house. And when she makes money waitressing, because she's still waitressing, or right. I make money lawyering, we can put on a roof.
Right.
Or we can put in the flooring. So we weathered the 2008 crisis with no problem because we had no money lent to us because no one would lend us money. Like, yeah, well, I just get, you know, a criminal client gives me money in a brown paper bag. I'm just going to go buy some drywall. That's what's going to happen. And then a lady from High Noon Entertainment, Tina, and I don't want to say her last name because I don't want to get it wrong, calls up Mina, and Mina calls me and says, I think someone's trying to steal my identity. And the lawyer in me says, well, did she ask for your bank account number or your social security number? And Mina says, no. I said, well, then she's not stealing your identity. You're fine. And she explains she got this call from this company called High Noon Entertainment, and they were asking her about her business. What we found out later is Tina had been looking on Facebook for some lesbian contractors they'd worked with before. They thought they might build a show around them. She couldn't find them, but she found us. And although we do have a close personal relationship, we are not lesbians. We are mother-daughter. It's different. It's
right.
Very different.
Very different, yeah.
And so then there was a Skype interview. This was fun. Me and it had a very emotionally trying day. And I get the little, you know, whatever iPad set up and I'm logged into the Skype and Mina rolls in and uncorks a bottle of wine and during the 1 hour interview finishes it. And I am more fun after a cocktail. Maybe you are too, but apparently she's a lot more fun after a bottle of wine. And they sent us some flip video cameras and we made some footage of what we do and we sent it back to them and High Noon made it into this thing called a sizzle, which is 6 minutes of all this video footage set to music. They sent it to HGTV and they said, oh, we'll make a pilot. While all of this is happening, High Noon is telling us, you know, after the phone call, we're never going to call you back. After the Skype interview, you're never going to hear from us. After we do the sizzle, this is going nowhere. After we get the pilot, you know, you're never going to get a season. After season one, you know, nobody gets a season two. After season two, well, you got lucky, but there's no season three. So I still don't feel like I have a TV show. My expectations have been managed really effectively.
Aren't you working on season seven?
Yeah, we are.
Well, so, because I'm watching season six now,
yeah,
right?
Season six is airing and we are in production for season seven. And what's cute is we are not done with production for season six.
Oh, really?
There is still one more house that has to be revealed. The reveal has not yet been filmed, which is weird to be airing the season and we're not done. I think that's
risky.
Well,
yeah, but the season lasts a while.
Yeah, right? It's 13 weeks.
You're doing, yeah.
So. Pressure is good.
But we're 2 weeks into the season, which means we have 11 weeks left for them to get all of this footage, get all the pickups. Do you know what a pickup is?
No.
So early on when we're doing this house, something happens with the sink. And now it's a really big part of the story. You don't know at the beginning what the story's going to be because to a great extent, it is reality TV.
Right.
And so later on, the sink becomes a story and we didn't say anything about the sink. So now they want us to stand up in front of a camera and say something about the sink. That's called a pickup.
Oh, okay. That's where you and Mina are standing outside and you're talking to each.
Yeah. So we put on the same clothes we had on the day that the sink went in and we talk about the sink and, you know, whatever way fits with the story. And so they haven't done those for this episode yet.
Do you ever get to one and you're like, I don't really remember what happened? Like,
no, oh, man. Most of the time.
I took that shirt to Goodwill.
No, that happens because we're supposed to keep our wardrobe. And I don't have a system for that. Who has this? I got a closet, right?
Right.
And I go through it every now and then and get rid of the stuff that's got holes in it, whatever. And every now and then that's something I wore. Now I don't have it. And there is one. There was this cute gray coat. Oh, it was so adorable, but it got real dirty one day. And so I put it in the washing machine.
Obliterated.
You can't do that with an H&M coat. You just can't do that. It shrunk to the size of a Barbie doll and it was full of holes. So I'm like, I don't have that anymore. Sorry.
Wow. Well, now, yeah, thinking about it now, I've watched the first two episodes of this season. And one of them, and I've also watched a little bit of season five. So I can't remember which ones are which, but Corey bought one of the houses.
That was season six, episode two.
Okay, so that's the one
Watched that. It just aired.
And I, you know, his big story, I guess there was a couple of things. You had the whole foundation.
Right. Foundation issue. Was terrible.
And then you had the cabinets.
And then the cabinets were broken.
Yeah. So were those kind of, those are the kinds of things that end up being pickups,
right,
kind of thing?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because you know what? And also some days it's pouring rain.
Yes, you can't do it.
And you can't do it in the rain.
Right.
So you have to put it off for another day. Well, the other day that you're going to put it off to, something really important is happening that you have to film. So you put it off till another day. And then pretty soon, hey, we're airing this episode. We need to talk about the foundation. And you have to do the pickup.
Well, I loved it when you showed Corey the house. And it must have been really freezing cold that day because he was like freezing.
Yes, he was freezing. And he was wearing MJ's cardigan, which is hilarious. And so when we did the interviews, he had to borrow MJ's cardigan again. Let me tell you something about that episode, though. Are you ready to give me a little therapy?
Oh, sure.
Okay, Nancy, are you ready?
I'll try.
I need therapy.
I'll try. I might send you to more, but.
So at the beginning of season six, I said, hey, I'm having a problem. And the production company said, I think we can solve this problem if you just do projects and landscaping. I said, that sounds great. I'll do projects and landscaping. That makes me really happy. And we're going to make those really robust. It's going to be a really big part of the episode. So did you see a project in that episode you watched?
No.
No, you sure didn't. You know what? My best project ever.
And they didn't use it.
I spent $1,000 of my own money.
You're scarred.
I spent 40 hours. My husband tallied it up because I'm like, nah, it wasn't 40 hours. And then he talked me through and I was like, oh yeah,
that was 40 hours. Did you tell him that you used to be a personal injury attorney?
And what made me really sad about it is instead of sharing this lovely story about how Corey and I made this project together, and then he sees it in place and he sees it in its completed form and he falls in love all over again. They tell the story of Tad being stupid and ordering the wrong siding because that was a more important story. And, you know, that kind of story arc where, oh, well, the foundation went wrong and the cabinets went wrong. So we're going to do this one more thing that went wrong. Like, you could have given them a happy ending.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You could have said a lot of things have gone wrong, but look, this went really right. Isn't this happy? Yeah. Don't we love this Indiana walnut handcrafted?
Oh my gosh.
Full grain Spanish leather, mahogany. What? Nope, that's not interesting. So I need therapy for that right now.
Now I want to see it. So
watch the show again. And at the end, when they're showing you the master bedroom, oh, wait a minute. Can I go on a tangent? For anybody who's listening to this, master bedroom is not a racist term. Being grandfathered in, totally racist. But a master's bedroom relates to the master in an English boarding school had his own room and his own bathroom. And that sort of just grew into the master of the house, whoever owned the house.
Gotcha.
Kind of like the master cylinder runs things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing to do with master and slave. Zero. It is not racist.
But I tell you, somebody's brought that up before.
We can't say it on TV anymore. We have to call it the main bedroom.
Really?
Yeah, because it's racist. But it's not. So don't say grandfathered in. Totally racist. I can explain that later, but it's not relevant now. In any case, go back, watch the episode. In the master bedroom is this beautiful bed. It's got a leather headboard that's tufted with the old iron railing that was on the front porch that we cut down to size and we refinished. And it's got these walnut rails and these antique legs that I stained. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Now, see, this whole headboard thing.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you do these kinds of things. You do these projects.
Yeah.
And most of the time they do show them.
Yeah. Most of the time they do.
But, and some of them are like, where did she get that? How do you come up with these creative
people
ideas?
Well, first of all, I have a million headboard ideas and every season I get told we can't do a season of headboards. We're not doing that. So you haven't seen all the headboard ideas, but I inherited an oppositional brain from my mother. And I know this because in her home, instead of an umbrella stand, she has a toilet paper holder because she thought that would make a more interesting umbrella stand. And it does. It's beautiful. It's got like this ivory wrapped around it and it's all metal. It's really cool. You never see an umbrella stand like that. but a toilet paper holder that holds the rolls of toilet paper, you can put umbrellas in that. It's perfect. And that's my mother. No, that's not a toilet paper holder.
That's like your dad.
Yeah.
That is an umbrella stand.
Always that way.
And that's what my brain does without any prompting. And when I was young, it was a problem because I didn't understand my brain. I didn't know how to work with it.
And it didn't conform to.
Right. I argued everything, every single thing, anything anybody said. I'm like, no, there's another side to that. Let's look at the other side. And so I see things. I see an old iron railing. I'm like, that's not an iron railing. That's a headboard. And I never know what my brain, because like I have a mind that's conscious and it's doing things, but I have a brain that does whatever it wants. That's my definition of the thing. Like the brain, it breathes for me.
So is this like your way of feeding that, these projects? Does it satisfy that, or do you have to find other ways outside of this?
No, absolutely. And being a lawyer really satisfied it too, because a really good lawyer can see the other side of the case and defeat it before it's presented.
You have to be prepared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you just think you're right and you think you know everything, you're going to be a terrible lawyer.
Yeah.
Who's calling you, Nancy?
Nancy's phone's ringing.
Sorry.
It's
one of the babies.
Is it Angela?
It's Andrea.
Andrea. So one of the grandkids?
No.
Oh.
We have two daughters. Andrea's the younger.
Andrea's.
Yeah. Yeah. They're actually relatively close in age to, like Corey, I think I saw in the latest episode it was like 32 or something. So they're late 20s, early 30s. So
still adorable.
Yes.
You know, he hasn't gotten out of adorable yet.
Well, I love the collection of characters you have on the show. Now, how did they all come about? Did you just get them one at a time?
Tad joined up. So Tad actually did some demo on the very first house. And my understanding is that consisted of him getting a dead animal out of the crawl space. If he did more than that, I don't know what it is. So Mina has always pulled Tad in to do some hard, dirty work. So when the show started, Tad was still doing what he'd always been doing. Like he helped us demo. That was part of the deal. And he still does it. So that's how Tad came along. They needed a project manager. And Mina had known Corey forever. And he had worked as a project manager, so he came on as a project manager. Austin played football with Tad in high school at Cardinal Ritter.
Okay.
So Austin was working at a company that it kind of hurt his soul a little bit. And now he's working for a company that maybe hurts his soul more. I'm not sure. So they got him over, and he would show up and do demo with us because Austin's amazing. He's absolutely amazing. He's so tall. He can reach things just by reaching up. He doesn't need a ladder. I'm like, Austin, come here and get that for me. And he's so strong. Mm-hmm. He can just pull down a wall. And she's like, all right. The very first episode, Barth. So season one, episode one, he got nicknamed Bobcat because they wanted to knock over a garage with a Bobcat. And I said, I brought my own Bobcat. And I had spray painted his t-shirt Bobcat. And production decided they wanted to see the actual Bobcat knock it over instead of my Bobcat. So he never got to actually knock it over, but he could have. It was very, very clear. And it's up off the foundation and it's ready to go. And they're like, no, put it back down.
So this was on Barth.
Yeah, that was on Barth, your old stomping grounds, Nancy.
Ground. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it north of Pleasant Run, do you think?
Yes, north of Pleasant Run.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you haven't done one in that little segment where Nancy grew up yet?
No, not yet. Okay. You got a house for me, Nancy?
I did, but I don't anymore.
Yeah. Her parents lived, you know, still owned the home just a few years ago, but somebody else owns it now. And oh, well, I'd love to see I would have loved to have seen you do that house because I'm convinced of a couple of things in there. There's I see the layout, right? I see the layout of the houses you do and they're very similar. There's a lot of houses in that area are laid out very similarly.
Yes.
And so you walk in this front door, and first of all, when you walk up on the porch, there's a door here and a door on the left.
Yeah, there right? are a lot of
parlor
times.
Parlor doors and
there's a parlor door
and a front door.
Yeah. Right. And so they had closed off the parlor door. You come into the main living room.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had a bedroom in the front.
Yeah.
But over to the left-hand corner was a staircase that went up to the second floor.
Which episode are you talking about?
No, this is her house.
Oh, Nancy's house. Nancy's house. I'm with you now.
So,
all right. Yes.
When we sold that house, I had to put a hand railing in that tiny little
to meet
space. Staircase. Yeah.
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 In order to sell it. And I'm trying to get that thing to line up. And I'm like, the walls flex. And I'm thinking, inside that wall is an actual banister. It probably used to be open.
Oh, probably.
And nobody believes me.
Did you get inspired to tear out the wall?
No. Well, I wanted to, but I wouldn't have been allowed.
I'm really disappointed in you right now.
I'm sorry.
At that point, we were looking to just get rid of it.
I just wanted to sell the house.
Right.
And all that. But I'm like, ever since then, I'm like, there's got to be a banister in that house. So I'm watching you to see when you do a house just like that one to find a banister.
Find a banister. There.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, Dad always, my father was a carpenter by trade. And he, when our oldest daughter, Angela, was doing artwork, he's always like, sign and date it. And Angela has become acquaintances with the couple that bought that house since they live nearby and such. And have said, the new owners have said, we see your grandfather's name and date. They, every time they go to remodel and see something
inside a wall.
Yeah. She was like, well, at least he was true to his word when he was telling me I need to sign and date everything.
Now, speaking of inside walls.
Yes.
Recent episode.
First episode. Shoe.
The shoe that wrapped in the hose inside the wall. What's the strangest thing you've ever found in a house? Is that it? Or was there other things that were stranger? By the way, you untied it.
Well, in any house or in a house for the show?
In any house.
Okay, so not the strangest thing in any house, but in houses for the show. And I did untie it, and I was very, very careful when I did that to be respectful to the beliefs of the people who had tied it. Mm-hmm. Because they tied it believing this would bind evil spirits and keep. And you didn't see this on the show, but I did this whole crazy thing. When I released it, first of all, I didn't do it anywhere near the house. And I went out to nature. And I had a whole conversation with the universe. Okay, straight up crazy now. But I did, where whatever this is, I want it to be healed and safe. And I'm a Jesus person. Not everybody is, and that's okay. But let's call on Jesus to take care of this thing. Mm-hmm. And that's to respect the beliefs of the people who tied it up. Because they really believed that this shoe was protecting them and that tying it up was protecting them. And then I wrote a little note. And I said what was on the note, and I put the note back in, and I tied it all back up.
I saw that.
And the note, you know, you don't see on TV, but it's basically found the shoe on this day in this place, and we are putting it back out of respect for what the people who put it there believed. I believe in Jesus, and I think that will keep people safe. I not degrading somebody else's belief at all. I'm adding that belief to someone else's. Mm-hmm. So... Don't get mad at me for the Jesus thing, please.
No, it was probably
you won't have any trouble on this show because
reality is there was probably some kid who just kind of stuffed it in there and it didn't necessarily mean anything.
His little brother
I don't think so. Because concealed shoes are a thing.
Are they a thing?
There's a museum in England for concealed shoes. And when I redid my house, we found a concealed shoe.
Wow.
And typically where you find them is over a door or over a chimney. Over a mantle, because that's where people believed the evil could
come
get in.
Yeah.
And the idea was that the shoe is the one thing that a person wears that conforms to them and retains their shape. So if you put a shoe there, the evil spirit's going to investigate that first because it thinks it's a person.
Gotcha.
And then it's going to get stuck inside there. I don't know how it gets stuck inside. Like, I don't know what the logic is there,
right.
But that's okay. It's going to go in, investigate, and it's going to get stuck and it's not going to harm the house. That's the whole thought process behind the concealed shoe. And people still do it.
Wow. See, I'd never heard of that. And I watch some crazy stuff on TV.
Yeah,
I like creepy stuff.
It's funny, having found a concealed shoe in my house and having no idea what it was until this contractor said, we found the shoe. And I asked my Wiccan friends.
You're like, oh, yeah.
I did a whole bunch of reading about concealed shoes. And it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now that's the crazy or the strangest thing for the show. Have there been other things that are strange that you've found?
Yeah. So I used to rent space from another lawyer. His name was Jamie Edgar. He's a fantastic human being. And he had a beautiful property at 16th and, is it Delaware? I think it's 16th and Delaware. This beautiful Romanette. It was gorgeous. And I rented a room from him. And weird things would happen. And I would tell myself, a picture was on the floor when I came in after a weekend. And I thought, the command hook failed. But I didn't stop to think how physics work and gravity works. And if the command hook had failed, the picture would have slid down the wall and fallen on its face. It wouldn't have been 10 feet from the wall. Like, that's not right. That's not how it works. But I didn't think that. And then a second picture was 10 feet from the wall. And then our receptionist called me down and said, I saw a ghost. Uh-huh. And I said, tell me what happened. And she told me what she had seen. And then one morning I'm coming to work and I see the exact same thing she saw. So we did a whole bunch of research to figure out who this person is. And a person had died in that house. She had been confined there because we don't know why exactly. Maybe mentally ill, maybe physically ill, but she lived with her sister and she died in the house. And we kind of feel like that's who the ghost is. So I'm in New Orleans one day and we're trying to talk to this ghost and say, hey, it's okay. Go where you need to go because it's freaking us out. I will tell you, when I found the dead crow in my office, I did not attribute that to the ghost because there is an undampered chimney that the crow easily could have flown down, flown around the room and banged into things until it was dead. And then I found it. So I don't blame the crow on the ghost because I think that was the crow's fault. But the pictures flying off the wall and other things moving of their own accord with clients sitting there, picture flies off the wall. This is the third picture.
Wow.
And I see it fly off the wall and the client says, oh, you have a ghost. I'm like, yeah.
I think the ghost didn't like your choice in artwork.
I know. Get these off my wall. They don't go here. So I'm in New Orleans and we're across from a cemetery and I'm talking to this guy about living across from a cemetery and about ghosts. And I said, you know, we have this ghost and we've been talking to it. And his wife gets so upset. She says, you never talk to the ghost. Never, 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 never. Because even if that spirit is benign, what's behind it may not be. And you don't know what kind of door you're opening. Here, I'm going to give you a prayer to say. So she comes back with this written prayer. And maybe this is why I'm a Jesus person. I don't know. But it's a call on the blood of Jesus and you don't ever talk to the ghost. You ask, I like to call it the universe. Yes, the universe to give the spirit peace and take it where it needs to go. So me and the receptionist who'd seen this ghost, we'd seen it. We'd say this prayer all day, every day. And then the ghost was gone.
No more.
No more. And if you don't believe in ghosts, I'm just a crazy person and that's okay.
Go to New Orleans. If you don't believe in ghosts, go to New Orleans.
Exactly. And spend a night in the cemetery or really anywhere.
Or just anywhere. That's, Mike has always wanted to go to New Orleans. And I had an uncle who lived there for a while. And when I was in high school, we went down for a visit. And I'm like, Mike, I've never gotten vibes anywhere like I did in New Orleans.
You haven't been to New Orleans?
I've never been. She won't take me there.
Just go for the beignets, if not the ghosts.
I meant beignets here.
Oh, all right. All right. He doesn't need to go to New Orleans.
Although they are nicer in the fresh market.
I would love to go to New Orleans, though. I really would like to go there.
But. And the funny thing is Beale Street is not the most interesting part of New Orleans.
No.
Not at all. That's where all the tourists go, and it's all the tourist traps. But if you go out to the Garden District.
Yep.
Or just wander off of Beale Street anywhere.
See, that's why I want to go. I want to see the history, the architecture.
Yeah. Let's just get that little prayer before we go.
Yeah, I'm going to sleep with the lights on.
You need to give us that little prayer thing.
I don't have it memorized, and I am an archivist. So like I save everything. It's all in the cloud somewhere.
Yeah.
And I went searching for this prayer.
And you couldn't find
it? I couldn't find it. But any prayer will do. Whatever your belief system is, you call on the source of that belief to heal this spirit and help it move where it needs to go. And the prayer just needs to be said with sincerity and intention. So it's not the words that matter.
Right.
It's that you believe in this power in the universe and you're asking that power to help you help someone else. And you talk to that power in the universe and you say, please help this person.
This is making me think of Angela's thing she got to do with the TV show.
Yeah, she did. There's a TV show where they have, what's the name of it? It's on the Travel Channel and they have a retired New York detective and then a psychic and they come to a house and they investigate. So they say something's going on.
Right.
She actually got hired to be the sketch artist for that particular episode that happened here in Indianapolis.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But it was, I was like, well, that's an interesting concept. You know, he's doing all his deductive searching out facts and stuff. And then the psychic's going in and sensing.
And then
things.
Finally she sits down with the sketch artist, Angela, this time, in this particular case, and describes what she's seen, and then the sketch artist draws it. And then she turns it and she says, is this what you saw?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well,
pretty
cool. And there are things that are very easily explained.
Right.
Doors opening on their own. I have a door in my house. I cannot get that son of a gun to latch. I'll think it's latched and it's not quite latched and it'll just open. That's a latch problem. That's not a ghost.
Right, or it's out of level, so it just swings, it's, right?
And all those orbs that you see, those are mostly dust that are caught in the flash,
right.
And the flash creates this orb. This is dust. Yeah. And temperature changes. I mean, there are lots of reasons for temperature changes, so it has to be a really significant area-specific temperature change for me to go, oh, yeah,
there's
something happening there. Not just, oh, there's a breeze. Like, that's not enough.
Yeah.
And again, the dead crow in my office, not a ghost.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So we've talked about the strangest stuff. And I've seen some pretty gross things on the show. Oh. What's the grossest stuff you've come across?
Had to go there.
Well,
I always go one step too far.
You always go one step too far.
It's hard to pick grossest because, you know, the boys make such a big deal out of the toilets.
And the refrigerators. And
I don't understand that because I open it. I'm like, oh. Did you see, they didn't show this on the episode. There's an uncorked bottle of champagne. I opened it and we shared it and we all drank it. And that refrigerator was full of dead cockroaches and cockroach eggs. But I'm like,
I have seen you eat a cockroach.
Yeah, live and dead. It's not a big deal. It's, you know, a lot of cultures eat insects every day.
Right.
It's just a cultural aversion. There's nothing wrong with eating insects.
I should have got some chocolate covered ones for today.
I would have eaten them. I know, I would have.
Sure you would have.
So like gross. Yeah. The toilets are very, very gross. The basements, the cellars, they're not basements. Yeah. They tend to be very gross.
They're not finished. They're just, a lot of them are probably like root cellars.
Yeah. Exactly.
In that area. Yeah.
I think the grossest was this one house where someone had intentionally gone all the way around a room and had stood, apparently, because it's about the height you'd be standing, and had diarrhea down the wall all the way around the room. Yeah. And that's gross because it was intentional.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Some human being decided this was how they were going to treat this house. And I don't know why. And to me, that's a problem. And you know how you can tell the difference between animal feces in a house and human feces in a house?
No.
The animals don't use toilet paper.
So they,
you walked right into that.
Oh, I'm just feeling a little wiped. You're on a roll.
Yeah, you better flush this segment.
This is going to have to be so heavily edited.
I'm not editing any of this. This is all staying in.
Wait, that reminds me, another tangent. Do you want me to tell you my favorite joke?
Let's go for it.
Okay, do you know who David Sedaris is?
Yes.
He's an author and he's hilariously funny. He's incredible and I love him. But apparently when David Sedaris was younger, he had a lisp and his parents, and you know he's gay, right?
Right.
Like he's openly flamboyantly gay. He's fabulous. So he was younger. He had this lisp and his parents sent him to speech therapy to try and take care of the lisp. And here we have David Sedaris. My husband's parents sent him to speech therapy to solve his problem, and they got most of the gay out. My husband most loves of. That joke. My husband,
most
loves,
of.
Yeah, most of. He still has moments where he puts one hand on his hip and one hand is like limp-wristed and he has an opinion about something in the design world. It's like, no, you can't do that. That's not right. And I'm like, yeah, they didn't get it all out. Fantastic. Just the right amount. Like he's got enough of his feminine side. They got just the right amount out.
Mm.
He's still got a little lisp. Sorry.
So you're
getting, sorry.
I'm not sure how to go on from here. So
your kindred spirits.
We touched on this a little bit earlier, but yeah, even though you say that you're Midwest famous, you're getting to where you're pretty well known.
Well, the show does air internationally.
Like when you got out of the car outside, I didn't have to question, is this Karen?
Because you'd seen me on TV.
I'd seen you and I know you from TV, right? And that's the other weird thing. When you're on TV all the time, people start to think they know you.
Yeah.
But they don't really know you. They just know the persona that's on television,
yes.
Right?
And I promise I'm very heavily edited on TV.
But you said people have shown up at your house.
Yeah.
So
knocking on the front door, my husband was laying down to take a nap. And so he's in bed in whatever comfortable clothes and there's a knock on the door and a knock on the door and he's like, oh, I'm going to go get it. And it's fans. And one of the fans loses her mind. He said it was adorable. Oh, you're Karen's husband. You're Roger. Can I get a picture with you? And so, you know what? He is a prince. He gave him a tour.
Really?
Yeah. Showed him the garden.
Should have brought him along.
Yeah. Should have brought him along. What's he doing right now? Cleaning the Airbnb.
Oh, well, then he should stay there.
He should stay there because there are guests tonight. He needs to stay there. He has work to do.
She'll be one of these days. She'll be looking at who's registered and she's like, oh, that's Mike and Nancy DeCamp.
No, you guys are friends now. You just tell me we find a day and you stay for free.
Oh, there you go.
But I mean, why would you want to stay in Indy? You live so close.
Because you're famous and we can say we stayed at your house.
Okay, that's fine. You can stay at my house.
So what's my question?
You're losing track of things.
No, it says you're
doing great, man. You're doing great.
I have that effect on people. They just lose their minds. They don't know what to do with me.
No, I forgot the details of the question. But basically, you know, where I was going with that is, since people are recognizing you,
yes,
does that impact you when you're out in public? I mean, what's that like and how's that feel?
It feels lovely. Our fans are the nicest fans. They really are. They're so apologetic. Like, I don't want to bother you, but can we get a picture? Of course you can get a picture. Like, what am I doing that's so important that I can't take a minute to take a picture? You're a fan. You're a nice person and you're supporting. Like, this is job security for me. Keep being a fan,
right,
please.
Right.
But I basically like people just in general. People are nice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people who hang out in the Midwest tend to be very nice. And our fans are just super nice. And I don't ever mind. I mean, I'm not Madonna famous, all right? Like this, I'm not getting mobbed.
Yeah.
I can put my Airbnb on social media and I don't have to worry about creeps showing up. Like that doesn't happen. It doesn't even increase our bookings. That's how not famous I am.
Well, how about Tad? Does he get recognized and followed and...
You know what?
All that stuff. Cause he's kind of out there and he's wild and crazy. And
is he?
Yeah. When you say out there, you don't even know how far.
Like I said, I'm just going by the persona.
I was going to say, why? Have you seen him like on social media and stuff?
Yeah. Or? Read his social media. My comment is that TLDNR, you know, that acronym
TLDN.
Too long. Do not read. I'm like, say your thing in one sentence or don't say it. It's social media, but he gives you paragraphs of this outpouring of his feelings.
That's funny.
And, you know, I guess some people like that. I don't understand it.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. Nancy and I are very much opposite. I'm very out there and I'm on social media all the time. I don't post as much as I used to, but I'm still on there a lot. Nancy's like very private. Right.
Yeah.
So we're stretching
with,
here.
Yeah,
here
with
right
friends,
now.
With friends, with people. That's right. One thing. I'm much more that way. But it's like once it gets out there.
I've tried really hard to be more engaged in social media because it's good for the show.
Sure.
It's right. But I don't really care what people think.
Right.
That's my problem.
And if you want to know what I think, just ask me.
I'm living my life. I don't have time to record it and share it and then read all the comments. Right. I'm just going to go ahead and live my life.
Right.
And I'm of a different generation.
Yep.
We didn't have social media. We had our friends.
Yeah.
And they would tell you when you were being an idiot. You didn't need someone on social media to tell you you're being an idiot. And I have a husband who is really happy to tell me I'm being an idiot. He will shut me down. He's like, did you think about that?
Maybe you shouldn't have said that.
You're right. So I try really hard to do social media, but for me, it is an effort because
it's one more thing to do.
Well, and I don't think people really, and this is not to offend people,
no.
But I don't see why people would care. And it's more about me and my view of myself than my view of people. Mm-hmm. Like, why would people care what I have to say?
Right.
That seems silly because I'm just Karen from Indiana.
No, you're Karen from Good Bones.
Apparently, that's what I've been told. I don't know if I believe it.
Oh, well, I think we've come to the random question time.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions for Karen from Indiana?
No, I mean, I think that the thing I love about what you guys do is that it does open up the doors for creativity. And somebody who's never done what you guys do gives them, I could do that to my, you know, master bath or what have you. And so it fosters.
Yeah. And even if what you see teaches you what you don't like,
right?
That's you something. Still learn something. That's You're something. Like, I don't like a wall white kitchen. I like the kitchen that's beige over blue.
Right.
Great.
Have it beige over blue. You're living in it.
You don't like this color? Well, now you know that.
Yeah.
Don't use that color.
Right, right.
I mean, color design is so personal.
It's
so personal.
It is.
So I don't ever get upset when people don't like things. I'm like, yeah, great. Don't like it.
Have you had a house that just flopped? I mean, like,
yeah, there was one that was painted purple. Couldn't sell it. Painted it blue. Sold.
The outside was purple.
Yeah. Outside was purple. Painted it blue. Sold
like that.
Yep. There are some colors that are hard to sell. People can't see past paint colors because they could have said, I love this house, but I'm not going to buy it unless you paint it blue. And two chicks would have said, sure, we'll paint it blue. Mm-hmm. We don't care. We don't want to sell the house.
Right.
But they see a purple house and that stops them.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was trying to sell his house and he had this giant swordfish that he caught as a kid mounted right when you came in the door. And that stopped people. Like, I can't buy a house with a swordfish in it. Well, you know, that's the owner's and it's leaving right now. Can't buy this house. And they'd leave.
It's, you know, it is true though. Cause I know when we first moved back up to Indianapolis area, we'd been living out. I remember going in one house and the entire house, every single room was rose colored and Wedgewood blue.
Oh, that's so pretty.
The entire, but I couldn't see my,
like, not your style.
The creativity was just like, I can't see beyond this to see the potential in this house.
And that's the whole thing with houses. Like, we go into these houses where you have to really have an imagination to see the potential.
Right.
Because you have to get past piles of feces.
Sure, sure.
You know, burned lumber, piles
junk
of trash,
left around,
whatever.
Yeah.
And see the structure of the home.
Right.
And see, what can I do with this structure to make it livable?
Right.
And inviting.
Right. And then you can personalize it.
Yeah.
Make it your own.
Yeah.
Make it feel the way you want to make it feel.
And we try really hard. Well, I'm retired from Two Chicks, so I don't try hard at all anymore. But back in the day, what Two Chicks tries to do is give it a palette that's appealing to as many people as possible.
Right.
Which in one way kind of dumbs down your design decisions. You know, we're not going to do another purple house. We learned our lesson.
Sure.
Blue house is great. And it's the same with interiors. People love white kitchens.
Right.
I am really tired of white kitchens.
Right.
So tired.
I have a white kitchen and I'm, yeah. But it was better than what I had. So I'm okay with it for now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, and you know, it's personal.
Have you had a house that like Corey's house. It was burnt.
Yep.
The foundation was crumbling.
Yep.
Bowed.
Yep.
Crumbling. Things were, you scratch your head. You think, should we have not bought this one? Have you had some of those?
I have never felt that way. And the reason I've never felt that way is, first of all, we know all that stuff when we buy the house. Yeah. We knew that. We knew the foundation was crap all the way around. That was not a surprise to me at all. And we can fix that. And places have energy. If you've ever been to a ruin and you've stood in a ruin, you can feel the story. You can feel it. You can feel it invading your imagination. And you it's like you know the story of the place just from having been there. Houses are no different. Every house has a story. And if you demolish it, where did that story go? Where did all that love and all that energy that all those people over the last 100 years put into that space? Let's keep that. Let's keep that. Let's give this house another chance. Let's let it live and breathe again and make people happy and start telling their stories in it.
Hence good bones.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
All right,
and even though they don't have good bones, but we're going to give them good bones. We're going to do that.
They're going to have good bones eventually. So we're doing the random questions.
And I'm going to interrupt. I was told I could pick from one of two boxes.
Right.
And I was told that one of the boxes, you made the questions yourself.
Right.
And I really want one of those.
Okay. Hand her the Tupperware box.
You're going to let her pick it out?
Yep. She gets to pick it.
I'm going
to
pick it and read it. Mm-hmm. Has anybody read these before? Like,
some
do these
of them
get reused?
The eight of them have been in there from the beginning, and recently I added eight more.
Do you want to check this before I look at it and see if it's one you actually...
Oh, do that one.
Do that one? It's okay? All right. So what does this say? Do you believe in UFOs/aliens? Why or why not? Yes, I do. And the reason why is because we don't know what we don't know. Our knowledge is so limited. Why would we say these don't exist? Why? And how much more fun is it to believe they exist? Like, that's a more fun life.
Have you ever seen a UFO?
No.
I have.
Have you really?
Yeah. Well, it was unidentified. It was flying. It was an object.
There you go.
So it was a UFO.
That is.
But it acted weird. So this was back when I was a teenager. There's this field. Open area.
That's where they always are.
Yeah.
Open fields.
Yeah, but it wasn't enough of a field to leave any kind of crop circles or anything. It was just grass. So it was open. We all hung out there. We played baseball there, football there, all that stuff. So we're out there one night. I'm not sure why we were out there so late.
Because you were misbehaving.
Well, I was the good kid.
He was the good kid in the neighborhood.
I was the goody two shoes. All my buddies all misbehaved.
So you were trying to get them to not misbehave?
Probably.
Okay.
They would probably agree with that.
Okay.
So anyway, we're standing there. We're out there goofing off. And all of a sudden, straight above us is a light. And it's just stationary. It's just sitting there.
No sound of helicopter blades.
No sounds at all.
Turbine engines, nothing.
And it was before drone days, right?
Before drones.
Yeah, because you're like, old, man.
I'm an old dude. So thank you very much.
You're super sexy, but you're old.
Hey, I like you more all the time. So get her another fleeting youth. Okay. So it's sitting there. It's just stationary in the sky above us. And it was there long enough. We all noticed it. And then all at once, it shot to the south, like, boom, gone.
What?
Just disappeared.
See, how can you not believe?
And this was in the mid-70s when they were doing Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and there was all kinds of reports of UFOs all the time. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I've just seen one. But, you know, I don't know if I want to get too close to them. I have watched some shows.
Good anal probe is all you need.
Well, I've had that at the doctor's office. I don't want another one.
Do that again, right?
You want the good anesthesia for that.
Yeah, I'm old enough to have those on a regular basis now. So
we all are. Getting old is not easy. The kids don't even know. All of these snowflakes we're surrounded with who get their feelings hurt so easily, what are they going to do when they hit 60? What are they going to do? Because their own bodies will betray them. Uh-huh. And who are they going to be mad at then?
Well, mine started acting up at 40. I mean, I started breaking bones and getting hair.
He's the oldest. We used to say he was the oldest young guy we ever knew.
Oh, yeah. No.
She had my 40th birthday party when I turned 39.
Yeah. Well, I'm 5 days older than him. So I wanted him to have his 40th party before I had mine.
So she told everybody come to the party. Give him a 40th birthday birthday card.
So you got a lot of black cards and black balloons. Yeah, and joke gifts about being old.
You didn't even
old.
Tell them that was what you were doing, did you? They all thought I was turning 40.
Yes, they all legitimately thought you were
That's
turning
40. That's the way to do a joke.
She's really good at that stuff.
Yeah, you can't trust other people with your secrets.
No, never.
Never. If you're going to pull a prank, you just got to pull it.
Hey, she knows how to do pranks, I'm telling you. So, Karen.
Yes. Can I tell you about the best prank ever that never made TV?
Yes.
Sure.
It has to do with poop. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm weird. And I discovered that Play-Doh makes this product called Poo-Doh. And it's a mold that makes these turds. And you get brown and yellow Play-Doh. And there's little corn niblets. So you can mold the little corn niblets. And then you can put them in the turd. And then you can make this Play-Doh turd. And my husband says, you should make that out of brownies. Like, that's a great idea. I don't know when I'm going to use these brownies, but I'm going to make them and I'm going to put them in the freezer and the day's going to come. The right day's going to come. And the day came. It was August. It's 1,000,000 degrees outside. And we're going to walk through a house that's full of poop. So I take these poo brownies and I put them on a plastic grocery bag and I put them in a corner and Mina's in on it with me. And we're walking up the stairs and we've walked by all this poop and Tad sees these brownie turds and they're now glistening because they're starting to thaw.
They're so,
And they're starting to condensation. And he says, oh, those are fresh. And Mina says, I'll give you $50 to eat that. And of course we're being filmed. And Tad says, I'm not going to eat that. Mina says, I'll give you $100 to eat that. He says, I'm not going to eat that. She says, I'll give you $200. And before she can say anything else, I shoot my hand in the air. I said, I'll do it. I need the money, and I grab the turd, and I put it in my mouth. Now, Tad has known me his whole life, and Lenny has known me for Tad's whole life. These two people know me, and they lose their minds. Tad starts throwing up. There's actually a sound reel where it's him just retching over and over. And I'm looking Lenny in the eye, and I see him lose his mind. And the only thing I can think to do is fling the rest of the turd at him. Because what else would you do?
Well, of course. Natural action.
And he starts to ball up his fist to punch me because that's what you should do to someone who flung poop at you. Yeah. And I can see his mind struggling with, I shouldn't punch a woman. And Mina and I are laughing so hard. We're peeing our pants. We can't stand up straight. And they still aren't getting it. Like, they still don't get it. And this is my favorite. Mina says the moral of the story is people believe mom will eat poop. And that's a hard standard to maintain.
Yes.
Thus the cockroach eating. All right. Nothing near eating poop, but you know, you got to maintain your standards.
Yeah.
So there you go. Best story you never saw on TV.
Just so you know, when I watched that episode, I went in the bathroom and retched. Not really. But I was like, ooh.
I think they showed it on a clip show. So that was a season one or season two, and nobody knew us yet. And so they were afraid to like bring that in.
You don't want to go right.
Because
yeah,
people might not like you anymore. But now they figure, well, people like us well enough that they might get this joke now. So I think it showed up on a clip show.
Definitely. I was like, whoa.
And they did it right.
And you really ate it.
Yeah. Well, it's a brownie.
It was a brownie.
No, yeah. I'm talking about the cockroach.
Oh, yeah. The cockroach I ate.
Okay.
Yeah. Dried cockroaches taste like straw. Live cockroaches, they've got a little bit of a bitter taste to them. And you got to get the tentacles out of your teeth.
I thought you were going to say it tastes like chicken.
No. It's like when you crunch down, you're like, that was intestine for sure. There's something in there, like something. Nah. Mm. Yeah, but you got to chew it up and swallow it.
But like you said, around the world.
People eat them. I've eaten termites too. Not the full. I've eaten larvae. And they taste like nothing.
You ever watch the it's another reality show with the guy who, the survival shows.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
and the guy's out in the wilderness. He's trying to survive and he's eating ants out of a log and eating termites out of a log.
Sure, they're good protein.
Guy's drinking his own urine. And it's like, oh my gosh.
I would love to be on Naked and Afraid. So much. Would so love to be on that.
No kidding.
No kidding. Because first of all, who wants to wear clothes? Like that seems like a lot of work to me. Putting on clothes is hard.
Weather does it for me. Winter, that kind of does
it. But Naked and Afraid, they're always somewhere hot.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't need any clothes.
Yeah, that's true.
And the Afraid part? No, I'm the scariest thing out there. You be afraid.
How did they get that blur area to just follow them around like that?
I think that's really hard work. For the editing team. I think it is.
Right.
And I'm like, don't blur me. It's fine. I don't care. Don't do the work for me. I don't care. It's the human body. Everybody has one. Who cares?
Karen, thank you for being here.
Sorry.
No. This has been a lot of fun. This is exactly what I was hoping for when I thought I'm going to send her an invitation to be on the podcast. I hope she accepts. And when I sent it to you, usually you send us stuff and it just disappears into the ether and right. And when you responded back that you'd be delighted to be on the podcast, I was like,
yay.
And so I had to tell somebody, I don't remember. I think Nancy, you're probably the first one.
I think you told me first and then you let the girls know.
Yeah. And I was so excited. But I just knew it would be a lot of fun.
Do you know that you were excited is a basis for a mental health evaluation, right? You're aware of that. Your wife probably could get a guardianship over you now and control everything that you do.
I forget you were in that lawyer business.
Yeah. Don't tell him my plan.
Oh, now you're giving away somebody else's
secrets, right?
So we were sitting around having a family conversation years and years ago when our kids were teenagers and younger.
Like junior high and,
junior high and maybe freshman elementary. High school kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I told the oldest that she could date when she was 30. And
how'd that go?
Well, she's like, Dad, that's not fair. When I go off to college, you won't be there. You won't see. I'll go out on dates if I want to. And the younger one says, don't tell him your plan.
So we're like, oh, it's you. That's we need the one. To look out for.
That's the one. Yeah. You know what? Don't let him know where you keep your goat, right? Just don't let him know. That's you just keep that close to the vest. And
yep. There you go. Well, Karen, it has been an absolute blast.
I've had so much fun. And no one has ever offered me cider at a podcast before. Yeah,
well,
I think I'm going to require that in my writer from now on.
I think you should. And I think that now I'll have to buy more of them because anytime I have somebody come over, they're going to, where's the cider?
Yeah, exactly.
I want some cider.
And I think you should get some sort of bump from this cider company, this Ash and Elm.
Ash and Elm, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
an
Indianapolis local.
Yeah, we pimped them pretty hard. They should be sponsoring you or something.
I think they should. There you go, Ash and Elm. If you ever hear this episode,
you should email them this episode.
Yeah,
I should.
I think you can.
They get all kinds of free advertising.
Yeah, it's the 21st century. Take advantage.
So do a few things out there. Buy some Ash and Elm cider.
Yeah.
Watch Good Bones.
Yeah.
Go. You got a store now. Right.
Yeah.
You didn't tell us about that.
It's the most disappointing store ever because I only know the night before what I'm doing the next day. So if I'm going to be open, I can let people know the night before. That's what I can do.
Yeah.
And that's not very satisfying for people.
So it's not open every day.
No, because I am not going to hire someone and pay money to someone to sit there at my store. I'm not going to do it. I'll sit there and I'll work on, I had lamp day. I got 7 lamps. It was very exciting. All these old crappy lamps and I got them all rewired and la, 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 and then paint and blah. And I didn't get them done because I was open and I had a steady stream of people coming in who I chat with. And, you know, everybody leaves with something, sure, some little thing that they like. And it's delightful, but I don't know when I'm going to be open.
It's on Shelby Street.
No,
East Street.
No, that's District Co. is on East Street.
Okay.
And that's a great store, but it's nothing compared to mine.
Yeah.
Because mine is very, it's my brain.
Okay.
All right? My brain is on the shelf. There's all these interesting, different things I've made, somebody else has made, things I've found. There's a ton of plants. There's vintage, handmade, or old clothes. There are some sequin Converses in there. Like, there's weird stuff in this store. And you got to look. You got to walk around. You got to look because it's not that big a space and there's a lot of stuff. So pay attention to my social media page and you'll know when the store's
open.
I'll
watch for that.
It's on Meridian Street, a kitty corner from the old Gaslight Tavern, which is totally haunted.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Famously, reproducibly haunted.
Now, where is that?
2301 South Meridian is my address. And they're across the street, so it'll be an even number, and it'll be 22.
You know where that is?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we'll have to go look.
Because we were 1800 block.
Right.
So it'd be south of,
what, 4 or 5 blocks down.
And my building has a big raccoon. We had a muralist come and paint, and there's a raccoon and a cardinal and all these flowers. It's super cute. Super cute.
Oh, that's awesome.
What's his name?
But you never know when you're open. I just have to watch your social media.
You have to watch my social media. I'm so sorry. But now I have your email. I can email you.
There you go.
Like I'll remember.
You even have my phone number.
Yeah. I have such an old brain. Remembering anything is such a challenge.
I'll be sitting around. I'm like texting Nancy. Be like, who are you texting with? Karen.
You know what? We haven't given Nancy enough credit during this. We really haven't because she's an absolute delight. And I said you were sexy, but you outkicked your punt coverage, dude. She is an amazing, beautiful woman. Really, really smart, really funny.
Yeah, I'm the smarter one though.
Are you?
Yes.
Yeah, look at who she married and look who I married.
You have a point there. I think he wins that argument.
He does win that
argument.
He does that. I let him win that one.
You guys are both delightful. Thank you so much for having me here and giving me a cider and being so much fun.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you very much for being on the podcast. As we wind this down, I want to thank our producer, Bill White here.
Thanks, Bill.
A friend of mine. Bill got me into podcasting. And he's a teacher. I think he's teaching radio now out in Pendleton or somewhere. He was at Warren Central, but he's out somewhere
farther out.
He moved away. but he still does the final polish on these things before they get posted. So thank you, Bill Whitehair, for your work.
Thank you, Bill.
And for all you podcast listeners out there, if you want to leave us a review, that would be awesome. My daughter Angela would usually do that plug. And with that, folks, this wraps up another episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.
The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. New episodes drop approximately twice a month. You can email Michael at authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Michael DeCamp is the author of 2 novels, Abandoned Hope, Cutter's Notch Book 1, and Nozomi's Battle, Cutter's Notch Book 2, a collection of short stories entitled Cutter's Notch Interludes, and 1 nonfiction Christian devotional book entitled Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World. All books can be found on Amazon or ordered from your local bookseller. Please join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.